Okay, open your Bibles. And just hold them in your lap for right now, but get them ready. I get to bring the message this morning. I'm very excited about this message. It's something that I've been really focusing on and concentrating on for a while, and it's something that's very exciting in me. So hopefully I can convey that excitement to you and get you thinking about some things and maybe help you to grow in your relationship with God. I was listening to, how many of you get Jim Richards' emails and connect to his messages that he does online? Okay. He's doing one right now. It's called Faith to Life, and it's all about steps to bring your faith to life, having a vibrant faith, having an alive and a growing and a moving faith. And he made a comment in that, and he said, the starting place for having an immovable faith is knowing and experiencing the character of God. The starting place for having an immovable faith is knowing and experiencing the character of God. And when he said that, I turned off my phone and I thought about that for a while, and I thought, you know what? He's absolutely right. Because we cannot, what is faith? Faith is just trust. And we cannot trust if we don't know somebody. Okay? I can't trust somebody that I just met on the street. I don't know that person. Okay? So the starting place of trusting God is knowing who he is and experiencing who he is. And therefore, we can love him, we can trust him, we can follow him more effectively, and our faith will grow to be immovable. So that's the title of my message today, The Starting Place for Faith. Now, I want to start with a very familiar scripture. You don't really even need to turn there because I'm sure you can recite it for me. What's John 10:10 say? The thief, kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have and life more abundantly. And Pastor has taught us over and over and over and over and over again that word life is Zoe. And I want you to think of Zoe life as being life as God possesses. Does God possess lack? No. Does he possess fear? No. Does he possess hate? No. Does he possess doubt? No. Does he possess fear? No. Okay? Think of the life that God possesses. That is the life that Jesus came to give us. And you know what? I'm sorry, but I haven't gotten a hold of that yet. I haven't gotten a hold of the fact that I can have that kind of life. It's possible for me. And for whatever reason, all of us have that stumbling block that keep us to believing that, keep us from seeing ourselves living the God kind of life, that Zoe life. But Jesus said, I came to give it to you. And if you're not walking in it, if we're not living in it, it's not my problem. Amen. Jesus' problem. It's the devil. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy from you. But I came that you might have life, the kind of life that God possesses. Now turn to John 17:3. I absolutely love John chapter 17. That is the chapter where Jesus prays for us before he goes to be with the Father. And it's his intercession, it's his intercession for us. And I love to just read through it and picture him praying for me and praying for the people in my life and praying for us here at the church. It's so full of love. It's so full of life. And Jesus is saying, God, this is what I want for these people, for the people that were right in front of him, his disciples. And this is what I want for those who come after these people. This is what I want, God. He said, I'm going to start at the beginning. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. There's that word, Zoe, again. Look at verse 3 very carefully. This is eternal life. This is Zoe. This is what Jesus came to give us, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's life. That's Zoe life. That's the way to live the life that God possesses, is to know him. And not just know him in our head. Not just know, yeah, he created everything. Yeah, he helped David slay Goliath. Yeah, he did this. Yeah, he did that. But to know in here, we've got to get it out of our head up here, and we've got to experience it in our heart, and that's where we can grab a hold of it and walk in the life that God possesses for us. Knowing is experiencing. It's actually being the same word as intercourse, being intimate with. When it said that Adam knew Eve, it meant they had intercourse, right? That's the same word. God wants us to know him so much that it's that intimate. There's nothing that separates us from him and us. That's what he wants. That's what that knowing means. It's not a head thing. It's a heart thing. In Jeremiah 24:7, he said, I will give my people a heart to know me. We have a heart that can know him that intimately. If we don't, it's not his problem. It's something that we need to work on. It's something that we need to establish in our heart. Amen? So, what I want to do is, going back to that phrase, the starting place of faith is knowing and experiencing the character of God. I want to this morning talk about the character of God, and specifically the names of God. In the Old Testament, and I also like to do this every once in a while, is go through the Jehovah names, and we're going to go through them, and I want you to be able to grasp more of who God is this morning just by knowing his name. Now, for us, it's not as simple as it was for the Jews. It's not as important as it was for the Jews. The Jews actually viewed a name not as something, not as, you know, letters that were put together to name a name, like I'm Wendy. They used a name to explain the character, convey the character and essence of the thing that it named. It represents the history and reputation of the one being named. To a Jew, a person's name was more than just a way of identifying them. Their name also reflected their character. And Jewish children were named in a way that would express that child's mission for life. Wow! You know, there's some of us that think about when we were going to have a baby, we think about the name, the meaning of the name that we're going to give that child. Okay? And I think that's fascinating. Personally, I don't like the fact that I was named Wendy, because Wendy means white-browed. That's it. White-browed. And for my age, I don't particularly care for that name right now. But for us, we don't view a name like the Jews view the name. Think about Abraham. God specifically changed his name from Abram to Abraham because Abraham meant a father of many nations. And so when he said, I am Abraham, he was saying, I am a father of many nations. When people called him Abraham, they were saying, you're the father of many nations. And, you know, I haven't done a ton of study on that, but that totally fascinates me. And I think I'm going to dig deeper into that and how the Jews, you know, considered naming and what that meant. Do you know that the name of God, there were 16 different names of God in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament. Each name reflected a different aspect of God's character. They were considered just as holy as God himself. So God's names were so holy, they never wrote his full name for fear of being disrespectful to it. Isn't that weird? That's just weird for us to think about that. But that's how much they reverenced, and that's how much they held God in awe. Because to say the names of God was just like saying who he was. It wasn't just flippantly calling him a name. Okay? Think about Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. We're not going to look it up, but in Matthew 6 and Luke 11, Jesus held up the name of God as very high and exalted. He said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now, that's not a word that we use very often, but hallowed actually means, where did I put it? There it is. To make or set apart as holy, to respect or honor greatly, or to reveal. You know, the disciples watched Jesus. And they watched how when he was going through a rough time or when he was going to go through something or he was continually separating himself and praying. And then out of that, he would come out with power to do whatever he had to do. And realizing that, the disciples saw, okay, he goes in prayer, he comes out, and he's just full of power, and he's just right on, and he's doing the will of God. And that's why they said to him, "Jesus, teach us to pray." They saw. He goes, and he talks to God. He spends some time alone with God, and he comes out, and he can do the will of God. So teach us how you do that. And that's how Jesus taught them the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And he said, start with, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is higher above all else. Your name is to be worshipped. Your name is to be set apart. I respect your name. I revere your name." Look at Psalm 9, verse 10 with me. Psalm 9, verse 10. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, "Those who know your name trust in you, for you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you." Those who know your name, know, experience, reverence, place in awe, worship your name, trust in you, for you, O Lord, don't abandon those who search for you. In other words, if we search for God with all our heart, not that we're trying to find him, but that search means to spend time with him, and that search means to try to get to know him better, and that search means to try to not separate yourself or to put anything in between loving him and having a relationship with him. That's what that means. And God says, if you do that, you can trust me. I'm not going to abandon you. Call on me. Amen. Call on me. I'm not going to abandon you. Amen. Psalm 91 is a great psalm of protection. And many of the promises in this psalm are based on the knowledge of God's name. But specifically in verse 14 and 15, it says, "The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Again, it says, "I will protect those who trust in my name." There's his name again. And it's not just, like I said, it's not just the name of God. The name of God encompasses many, 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 many aspects of his character. Okay? So let's get down to the nitty-gritty. I'm going to use the prayer organizer. If you've heard Jim Richards speak of the prayer organizer, this is what it looks like. And I would recommend it to everybody. It's an awesome source. And what it does is it uses the Lord's Prayer. And he breaks up the sections and teaches you to have a vibrant prayer life, have a vibrant communion, have a vibrant just a lifestyle with God using the Lord's Prayer and all the different sections of it. So in the section of Hallowed Be Your Name, he brings up the Jehovah names of God. Okay? Now, Jehovah in Hebrew means the existing one or Lord. Okay? So instead of Jehovah, whatever the name is, you could say the Lord who, whatever, because he's the ever-existing one is what Jehovah means. It denotes a God that reveals himself unceasingly, over and over. God today wants to reveal himself to you, right now. God later on today wants to reveal himself to you. God tomorrow, if you have the day off and you're picnicking, he wants to reveal himself to you. He's the ever-existing one. He's the ever-present one. And he knows your every single step, and he wants to reveal himself more and more and more to you. So the first one we're going to look at, and kids, if you have your service notebooks and you want to write down these names, and then come up afterward and tell me how many names that you wrote down and how many, what you remember about that, I would love to hear that. And if you guys have paper and pencil, it would be cool to write these things down so that you have the reference. I was going to try to make a reference. Oh, and Mr. Usher has some paper for you if you want paper. All right. The first one we're going to talk about is Jehovah Tsidkenu. And it doesn't start with an S. It starts with a T. Jehovah Tsidkenu, Tsidkenu. God has revealed himself to us as Jehovah, our righteousness. Now, what I want you to do is, as we go through these names, I want you to think about the fact that this is who God is. When Jesus came, he revealed that character of God. God revealed himself in the Old Testament as these names. When Jesus came, he fulfilled all those names because he is God. Now, if we are born again and Jesus is in us, the Spirit of God lives in us, so we can bring to ourselves and accept all the character and that name implies into us. Do you guys get it? Do you get where I'm going with this? Just because I'm going to be naming the names of God that show us his character, that character was in Jesus, and therefore, that character is in you if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're no longer you, okay? You are these things. God revealed himself, revealed his character, and those things live in you. So, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. As righteous children of God, we are as we should be because of Jesus Christ, okay? We're not as we think we should be. We are as we should be. And that's a hard thing to grab a hold of sometimes because it's like, yeah, I know that I am as I should be. But that's how God sees you. And as I name these names in these characters of God, I am going to make some statements that are based on Scripture that are true for you because of God's nature. So, Jehovah, our righteousness. As I name these things, see yourself righteous because of that name. See yourself. That's how you experience it. You know, we can know God, but when we experience God, we see ourselves as he is. Okay? Hopefully I'm not making this really complicated. So, Jehovah, our righteousness. I thank God that I am righteous in Jesus. I am as I should be. See yourself as you should be. Not as you feel, but meditate on that. See yourself as God sees you. God doesn't see you as fearful. God sees you as bold. God doesn't see you as a failure. God sees you as successful. Because he's Jehovah Tsidkenu. He's our righteousness. Jesus fulfilled that, so therefore, we are righteous, okay? You made him who knew no sin to be sin for me, that I might be the righteousness of God in him. When Jesus hung on that cross, he became sin for us. He took all our sin and took it on himself. So that's how you can be all that God made you to be. That's how you can be righteous. It's because of Jesus. It's not anything that we've done. I don't have to work for my righteousness because of Jehovah Tsidkenu. He saved us because of the righteous, not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy. That's the character of God. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness fulfilled in Jesus, and that's who I am. Okay? Next one, Jehovah M. Kadesh. M apostrophe K-A-D-D-E-S-H. M apostrophe K-A-D-D-E-S-H, Jehovah M. Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies, and sanctifies basically means the Lord who sets us apart. See yourself as set apart because of God's nature, because of Jesus, because of who you are. You are set apart. You're free from the law of sin and death. God is always trying to move us away from that which is going to hurt us, because he is Jehovah M. Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies, the Lord who sets us apart. We are set apart for the master's use. That's all a part of that name as well. Okay? God has set you apart, like Diane was talking about last week. God has a plan for every single one of your lives. He has set you apart for a specific purpose. That's who he is. That is his character. Jehovah M. Kadesh. The next one, Jehovah Shalom. Everybody knows that one. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. Okay, when you think about that, when you worship that name of God, see yourself at peace because of that name. Because of Jehovah Shalom, the character of God fulfilled in Jesus and now in you, we can be at peace no matter what's going on around us. Okay? You give me peace in Jesus. You keep me in perfect peace, for my mind is stayed on you. These are those things that we can worship God with, those confessions that we can make back to him, knowing that he is Jehovah Shalom. S-H-A-L-O-M. The next one, Jehovah Shammah. S-H-A-M-M-A-H. And I could give you all the references of where God was revealed in the Old Testament with these, but, that reminds me. If any of you would like any of these references, any of these pages that I'm working from out of this book, I'd be more than happy to copy them for you and give them to you. Okay? Jehovah, I don't remember how much the whole thing is. It would be well worth the money, though. Okay, I don't remember how much it was. It's a phenomenal resource. I know Elaine uses it. We've talked about it, and it's a phenomenal. I would recommend it to anybody. All right, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. Hallelujah, the Lord is present. You are always with me. You will never leave me or forsake me. You are in me, and I am in you because of Jesus. I abide under your shadow. See yourself as never being alone. And I guarantee you, you will know God better. You will trust God more than you ever have if you see yourself as somebody who never is separated from God. He's always with you. Always. Like I'm saying to the kids, he's with you in the bathtub. He's with you on the playground. He's with you on the bouncy bounce. He's with you everywhere. He's always present. Next one, Jehovah Rohi. Anybody know this one? What is it, Gail? The Lord our healer. Jehovah heals. You are the Lord God who heals me. Jesus carried all my sicknesses, pains, and infirmities. Therefore, I don't have to carry them. By his stripes I have been healed. I am free from the curse of sickness because of Jehovah Rohi. That's Rohi. That's who God is. I've seen different, R-O-P-H-E is the way he spells it. I've seen it, R-O-P-E, okay. So, once again, see yourself as healed. God is your healer. Jesus fulfilled that. Jesus is in you. You are the healed. Next one. Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. Jehovah's provision shall be seen, Genesis 22:14, and that is from the story of Abraham and Isaac and how he provided a ram in the thicket. As they were climbing that mountain, didn't have a clue how this was going to turn out. God was sending a ram to get caught in the thicket. He looks ahead and he provides. You don't know how often I meditate and I worship, and I thank God that he is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen next week. He knows what's going to happen 6 months from now, and those things that are going to come up, that we have no clue how it's going to turn out. He does. So look for your ram. Look for your ram. You are my provider in Jesus. I am free from the curse of poverty. All your blessings come on me and overtake me. I am blessed, and I am a blessing wherever I go. See yourself as someone whose needs are being met continually. Like I said, he is Jehovah. He is the Lord unceasingly. Next one, Jehovah Rohi, R-O-H-I. Gail, what's that one? Shepherd. Jehovah, my shepherd, Psalm 23. You are a shepherd in Jesus by your spirit. I trust in you with all my heart. I lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways I acknowledge you, and you direct my paths. He's Jehovah, our shepherd. He leads us. Once again, he's always there, ready to lead us to fulfill the plan he has for our life. Again, referring to Diane's message. God has a plan. He's ready, and that's who God is. He's not a God that says, figure it out. Good luck to you. Hope you find it. No, he's a God who's standing right there as our shepherd in Jesus and saying, go this way. Nope, don't go that way. Now go this way. Now go that way. And it's us who have to learn to see ourselves as somebody who's being led by the Spirit, led by Jesus, led by Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd. Any way you want to look at it, see yourself, make that real to you. Not just know it, but experience it. I love my times of meditation. I sometimes meditate, and there was this hill behind my parents' house. I didn't spend a ton of time up there, but for some reason, when I started to go to my secret place with the Lord doing meditation, I ended up on the top of this hill. And you'd go up to the hill, and it would kind of even off and go off in the distance. I was always too scared as a kid to go there. But I would stay at the top of the hill and just look. Right now, there's trees that are grown up, and you can't even see the top of the hill anymore. But I would stand at the top of that hill, and I'd be able to see my house, and I'd be able to see the neighbor's house. That's where I go when I meditate. That's where I see myself with Jesus sitting in. It was kind of this sandy place with a bunch of weeds in it. And for some reason, that's where I go. And then sometimes as I'm meditating and I have decisions to make and things, I like to meditate on Jesus getting up. First of all, we're always just kind of sitting there. And it just feels very peaceful. And then if I have some place that I have a decision I have to make, I picture him getting up and walking in front of me and then beside me and leading me. I don't always get the answer right then, but it's so comforting to me to picture that and to meditate on that and experience that, of him being right there with me, going in the direction that I need to go. Next one. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner. And that banner refers to, I didn't understand this one for a long time, but when I got to understand it, it's I love this one. The Lord is our victory. See his name as a banner over you. Jehovah Nisi, Jesus Christ, the banner over me, it's the victory. Like you're walking in victory with that name on your flag. Jesus Christ, Jehovah Nisi, God my victory. See yourself sealed with that name, okay? See yourself with the name of Jesus covering you, the name of Jesus over you, whatever you need to do. He is your victory. You are more than a conqueror. No weapon formed against you will prosper because he is Jehovah Nisi. He is our banner. He is our victory. Jesus provided it all for us. And I'm choosing to believe that you guys are more excited than you look. There's many, many, many more names of God. Those are just some of them that he uses in his book that I like to refer to and to meditate on and to remember. Like I said, there's many more if you want to study them out, but just use those. And like I said, take each one of them and remember that's who your God is. That's how Jesus, and Jesus came and fulfilled those in his life, and Jesus is in you. So all those things are possible for the Zoe life of God that God wants you to have. The last scripture we're going to look at is Proverbs 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." I use this scripture a lot. And when I get to the point where it says, acknowledge him, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That word acknowledge means confess him, accept who he is, give authority to him, worship him. And what I do is I say, God, I trust you with all my heart. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I don't understand how this is going to work out. But in all my ways, I acknowledge you as Jehovah Jireh. I acknowledge you as Jehovah Nisi. I acknowledge you as Jehovah Shammah. I acknowledge you as Jehovah Shalom and all the rest of them. And you're going to direct my paths because that's who you are. And you live in me, and that's who I am. So I'm going to trust you, and my heart is going to trust you. Not my head, but my heart, knowing who you are.